Praise Jesus. Let's put your hands together for Jesus. Lord, we worship you. Thank you, Jesus. And please just stay on your feet just as we commit the word into his hands. Thank you, Lord God. Father God, we love you and we want to hear from heaven this morning. Father, I pray that your word would penetrate every single one of our hearts. That your word would be like that two-edged sword that would cut through everything to bring something to each one of us that will transform us. Father, I bow my knees before you, from whom every single one of us comes, and we give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Why don't you take your seats this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, the title of my message today, which I never normally give at the beginning, but I don't often have a title, so that's often why I don't give it. I'll write a book and then spend the next 2 months trying to work out what to call it. But the title of my message this morning is Man on Fire. Amen. Man on Fire. And I want you to turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 9. And we're going to start reading at verse 4. You know, talking about man on fire, I thank God for what my spiritual dad brought to Harvest Church last weekend. I mean, let's just give God praise. You know, it was like he came as an envoy from heaven. Truly saw his role as not only, I mean, he's been my spiritual dad for 32 years, but as a spiritual father to this house, you know, and brought something for us. You know, so what you received last weekend, treasure it. Don't let it go. You know, what the words you received as the different men and women of God were ministering, hold on to what God deposited. Because it's to bring about a complete and utter transformation in us. Hallelujah. 2 Kings chapter 9, and I'll start at verse 4. And it says, so the young man, the servant of the prophet, went to Ramoth Gilead. And when he arrived, there were the captains of the army sitting. And he said, I have a message for you, commander. Jehu said, for which one of us? And he said, for you, commander. Then he, that's Jehu, arose and went into the house. And then this is the now son of the prophet, poured the oil on his head and said to him, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed you king over the people of the Lord, over Israel. You shall strike down the house of Ahab your master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off from Ahab all the males in Israel. I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam. Verse 10, the dogs shall eat Jezebel on the plot of ground at Jezreel. Verse 11, then Jehu came out to the servants of his master, and one said to him, is all well? Why did this madman come to you? And Jehu said, oh, you know the man and all his babble. But they said, a lie. Come on, tell us now. So he said, thus and thus he spoke to me, saying, thus says the Lord, I have anointed you king over Israel. Then each man hastened to take his garment and put it under him on the top of the steps. And they blew trumpets saying, Jehu is king. Wow. This is an extraordinary story about a man that we hear nothing about in Scripture until this point. There are other Jehus, but there's not this Jehu. They make clear which Jehu this is by who his dad is and his grandfather. We hear nothing about him until this moment. Let me say to you, it doesn't matter who knows what's going on in your life. It doesn't matter who's recognizing you. It doesn't matter who has seen the gift, who's seen your service, who's seen the hours that you've been praying. It doesn't matter who has seen, because God is the seer of all. Amen. We have a man in Jehu here who was a nobody. He was known by no one. He was not mentioned before. And then there was a suddenly, say suddenly. And the word of the Lord came. And this is the amazing thing. You see, when it's God who does it, you don't need to convince anyone else of it. Are you hearing? Listen, they thought the son of the prophet. It wasn't Elisha who came. He just sent, you know, one of his unknowns. Are you hearing me? An unknown came to Jehu. He gave the word of the Lord privately, not in front of all Israel, not in front of the leaders or the elders. But when Jehu said, all right, I'll tell you the truth, because it was God who was speaking, because it was the moment in time for his promotion, because it was the moment in time for him to step into his destiny, everyone around said, we bow down to this. We hear this is God. God's hand is on your life. And what they're doing with their jackets, it's a bit unclear. You know, but they all get their jackets and they kind of create a make-do throne with their coats. They lay them down one on top of another. And then they say, Jehu is king. You know, one of the things that the enemy tries to do in our lives is to make us believe that somehow it's just never going to happen. And you know, one of the ways he manages to achieve that is because when we look around us in the natural, when we look at our circumstances, guess what? Nothing is happening. You know, and when you look around, this is one of the reasons why we've got to learn to look up and not down. I tell you, there are times when all heaven is standing to attention and yet everyone on earth is just walking past you. Because heaven sees things from a different perspective to earth. Let me tell you the perspective heaven sees things from. From the end first. The Bible says that God sees the end and he declares the end from the beginning. In other words, he starts with, where are you going to end up? Where is the fullness of the manifestation of the glory of God on you, in you, through you, going to end up? And then he works his way back to now. Are you hearing me? You see, what we do is we go, look at my past. That's a bit of a disaster. Amen. Amen. Look at my circumstances right now. Who believes in me? What's changing? What's happening? Where are the answers to my prayer? And the devil tries to say, listen to that. Look to that. But I want to tell you that God has an extraordinary purpose for your life. Amen. You know, he has a reason. One thing I know about God, he just does not make mistakes. He's never made one and he never will. Amen. Not only does he not make mistakes, he never makes second-rate anything. You are not second rate. You are not plan B. You are not the one who's been overlooked and overlooked. You are the one that God is distinguishing. You know, I love that verse again and again. Well, it's in several parts of the Bible, but in Exodus, when Moses is leading the people or trying, you know, in the process of getting them out of Egypt, and God keeps saying, I will distinguish you from the Egyptians. In other words, what happens to you will be different. Amen. to what happens to everyone else around you. But you need to know it, you need to believe it, and you need to lay hold of it. So this word came to this unknown. Now let me tell you a couple of things about this unknown. He was in the right place, at the right time, doing what he was supposed to be doing. Are you hearing that? He was in the right place. Say it with me. At the
right time.
Doing what he was supposed to be doing. At the time, he was commander of the army. And he was doing what he was supposed to be doing diligently. Now, for his colleagues to fall into line, there must have been a good testimony about his life as well. You know, and one of the things I love about God, you know, sometimes when I fail, when I mess up, you know, one of the things I do when I realize, and this might sound crazy to you, but I'll say to God, Father, please can I have another test really soon? You know, Sarah, sorry, bless her heart. She passed her driving test third time. But guess what? Does she care now? Because she can drive. Listen, if you've just failed a test, it might be a character test. It may be something to do with the way you react to someone who just winds you up. It may be how you wives responded to your husband. It may be husbands, how you treated your wives. It may be single person, how you really, really stayed on that thought rather than moving away quick. You know, the devil will try and bring the thought, but we can chuck it out. It may be married person, how you stayed with that thought. You know, the devil doesn't stop trying just because you get a ring on your finger. But listen, if you fail a test, you know, what does the Bible say? Though a sinner falls seven times. Is that what it says? No, it doesn't. It says, though a righteous man falls seven. Are you hearing me? Yes. Falling doesn't mean that you suddenly become this terrible person. It means you're not yet perfect. And all the perfect people in the house can stand up because I want to meet you. Are you hearing me? Because you fall, it doesn't make you a failure. The Bible says that though the righteous falls seven times, what does he do? He gets back up. He rises back up. Listen, if you failed a test, ask God for another. You know, never look at how someone else has let you down. Tip for life. I think one of the greatest transformations God ever did in my heart, please hear me on this, one of the quickest accelerations in God being able to work in me was the day when I said, I'm going to stop blaming someone else. I'm going to stop blaming my husband. I'm going to stop blaming my upbringing. I'm going to stop blaming my circumstances. I'm going to stop blaming the trials and tribulations that my children have gone through. And instead, I'm going to say, Lord, deal with me. Lord, do a work deep in me. Are you hearing me? Your destiny awaits you. Your mission is waiting for you to accomplish it. So here we have this man, Jehu, who's just been made king. And he has this major mandate. Wow, what a mission. Let me tell you, there is a mission for you to fulfill. You have a unique mission that only you can fulfill. Are you hearing me? A unique mission. And Jehu had this amazing mandate. And listen, if you're not sure what your mission is, let me tell you what to do while you discover your mission. How many of you, you're not sure quite what your specific, right, hands up, very honestly, please. Honesty, truth, it's great. And there's probably double or treble that number, those who are a bit shy to raise your hands, which is fine. Let me tell you, can I give you a mission until that point? Win souls. Find someone who doesn't know Jesus, who you can see that their heart is at least a bit open, and just love them. If you're a woman and you know how to bake, bake them a cake. Unless it's a man who's married, you know, just be like careful, yeah? You know, if it's a man and you're a man and you know he's into squash, get to play squash. Reach out, build bridges, make friends, and win someone to Jesus. Do you know, my mandate to win the lost will never, ever, ever go from me until the day I go to heaven. No matter what the unique purpose I have, we all have that common purpose. When was the last time you and I shared the gospel? When was the last time we deliberately reached out to someone who just doesn't know their eternal destination? And just loved them. And talked to them and shared with them. You know, because you have a mandate and a mission. And it is the most glorious mandate and mission to fulfill. And if you don't know anyone right now, pray and God will give you someone who really needs Jesus, who you can start to reach out to make. You know, when you win a friend, they're so much more likely to stay. When you win a stranger, which is great, we need to win anyone and everyone. It's much harder to follow up. So make friends and just, you know that book, Win Friends and Influence People? Let's make friends and then win people. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So Jehu had this amazing mandate, though. He was given this mandate by God, which was to deal with one of the greatest enemies that the people of God had known until that time. The mandate to Jehu was, I want you to deal with Ahab and Jezebel. And everyone associated with that kingdom, with that family, with that dynasty, with that awful, awful reign. You know, because they led the people into such terrible ways. And Jehu had this amazing mandate, which was, I want you to deal with it. And it's extraordinary. Literally, the moment he heard the call of God, Jehu responded. He stood up. He said, yes, sir. You know, he was a man under orders. He was a man who understood authority. He was a man who didn't mind being told what to do, whether or not it was what he felt like doing. Amen. You know, it's what we do when we don't feel like it. It's what we do when we disagree because we've been told to. That God sees and says, wow, I found someone I can use. I know it's the times when I've been obedient to my husband when I thought he was just either just being mean because I was tired and I didn't want to make him a cup of tea. Or, now hear me. Or when I just didn't agree with what he was telling me to do. Listen, you're not too spiritual to be told. You know, you and I aren't too, you know, we've got to learn just to say, yes, sir. Am I saying he gets it right all the time? Well, you know, that's between, yes, apparently. It's not about that, though. Are you hearing me? It's about the heart that says, I'm just a servant. I want to fall in line. I don't want to stand out and somehow be the focal one. Do you understand? There's something about the heart that says, I'm not gonna try and give the impression to everyone else I know more than them. Because I don't. Are you hearing me? And there was something about Jehu that was just willing to receive commands. You know, and so off he went. The moment the declaration came, and there was a word came both from my husband and from Prophet Kathy. And when my husband gave the word, he hadn't been there when Prophet Kathy had said the same thing, which was, make the next 5 years count. Turn to your neighbor and say it right now. Make the next 5 years count. And you know the only way to do that? Make every day count. Jehu received the call of God. Jehu received the call of God and got straight out there. Let me tell you what he did. He killed King Joram of Israel, who was linked to Ahab. Then he killed King Ahaziah of Judah, again linked to Ahab. Then he ordered the killing of Jezebel, one of the most evil women that's ever walked the earth. And she was thrown out of a window and splattered on the ground, but that's neither here nor there, I tell you. He had all 70 of Ahab's leaders and families destroyed. He had Ahaziah's relatives destroyed. And then he dealt with all, say all. All the Baal worshippers. He literally received the mandate, the word, the mission. And everything within him just stood up, took attention, and got on and got the job done. Are you hearing me? You know, you and I, we need to learn that when we know that God has spoken, how many times we go, oh, well, I'm going to wait for more confirmation. I'm just, you know, the Bible says that by two or three, well, you've already had six witnesses. Are you hearing me? You know, oh, well, I sense the Lord calling me into a greater prayer life, but, you know, I just don't like the idea of getting up in the night. I mean, why would I go to an all-night? You see, very often what God is waiting for us to do what he last said. We're saying, Lord, speak to me. Lord, speak to me. And he's saying, I've already told you to love your wife. Yeah, but Lord, I need a new job. Love your wife. Yeah, but Lord, I need a promotion. Love your wife. Yeah, but Lord, I need a husband. Submit to that leader who I've put in your life to love you and help you. You see, the heart is everything. You know, it says in Proverbs 4, verse 23, it says that out of the issues of heart, out of the heart flow the issues of life. I like the way the New Living Translation puts it. It says that your heart determines the course of your life. You know, so God's looking at very often at the last heart response to his instruction. So what's God said to you? And how has your heart responded to that? What's your heart done with it? You know, I always used to love the parable of the two sons, where it'd say, you know, there's two sons. One says, the master or the father asks them both to do something. And one says, yes, father, I'll do it, and doesn't. And the other says, no, I'm not going to do that, and does. And I said, well, that's great, because I'm a bit like that second son. You know, my husband will ask me to do something. I'll have a little argument with him. And then I'll go do it. And God said to me, I want you to be both sons. I want you to have the heart attitude that says, yes, I'm willing. Because I don't see myself as some jumped up wife, but I see myself as someone who's a helpmeet, who's here to serve, who's here to just to do what I need to do when I need to do it. You know, it's not good enough just to do what we're told. It's about our hearts in the midst of it. It's about what's going on inside, you know, and that's what dying daily is. Paul said, I die daily. Paul talked about the crucifixion of the flesh. That's the putting down of every I want my own way on the inside and saying, let your will be done, Lord. Let your will be done. Amen. So here was Jehu. He got the job done. You know, he even said to one of my friends, come with me and see my zeal for the Lord in 2 Kings. Chapter 10, verse 16. If you just put that up, because he's saying, look, I'm so zealous for the things of God. You know, some of you here, you know what your mission is. You have a strong sense of what you're called to do. And in your heart right now, if that's you, I'm not asking you to put your hand up, but I just want you to acknowledge it. Yes, I know my mission. I know what I'm called to do. You know, because when we really know what that is, it does motivate. It does create a zeal. It does make us like a man on fire. But I want to read now verse 1 Kings 10. Or in 2 Kings. 2 Kings 10. And I'm going to read verses 30 to 31. And this is the closing of Jehu's life. And it says, and the Lord said to Jehu, because you have done well in doing what is right in my sight and have done to the house of Ahab all that was in my heart, your sons shall sit on the throne of Israel to the fourth generation. But this is one of the saddest verses. These sorts of verses just break my heart. But Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord with all his heart, for he did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, who had made Israel sin. You see what happened here? While Jehu had a mission, he was on fire. The mission motivated him. The mission filled him with zeal and passion. He wanted to get the mission done. You know, you and I need a mission. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need a mission. Mission motivates. Mission motivates you. Mission will get you up in the morning praying. Mission will get you into your Bible. Mission will keep you on the straight and narrow when you feel like wandering off. When you've got no mission, you'll lose discipline. It was when David, King David, wasn't on the mission he was supposed to be on at the time when kings went to war that his mind went wandering over to Bathsheba. We need mission. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need a mission. Get a mission. And fulfill your mission. Mission motivates, but listen. Love never fails. I want to speak for a moment to every person that knows that you know you have a mission. You know what God has called you to do. I want to ask you this question. Underneath, when all the mission is put to one side, when all the tasks and the work that the Lord has called you to fulfill for Him, when all of that is put to one side, how much do you love the Lord? You know, it's really interesting. You know when Moses, I mentioned him a bit earlier, but when he was going again and again to Pharaoh, and he was saying, let my people go on behalf of God, that they may serve me. Now, do you know that word serve? In some translations in your Bible, it may say serve or it may say worship. It's an interchangeable word. What am I saying? You see, the kind of service that God wants from you and me is one that is launched out of a heart of worship. It's one that is propelled from a heart of love for the Lord God. It's one that says, Lord, do you know, I'm bowled over that you would give me such an exciting mission. Why do I say that? Because I know that you were made to fulfill your mission. Therefore, your mission will motivate you. Your mission will excite you. Your mission will fill you with passion. Amen. I want to do what God's called me to do. Amen. You know, I was chatting to Roro in the car, and we were talking about the all night. I wasn't able to be there this Friday because I was ministering from very early all day yesterday. And she was telling me about what my husband had shared, about what Pastor P had shared, about the nations, about, you know, the region of the Arab world and what God's doing and what he wants his prayer warriors to be doing to support the love and work of God in that region. I said to her, it's so interesting. I said, you know, I've got this mandate from God that is so much about the one. You know, it's a mandate that is about bringing wholeness and freedom to individuals. It's a micro mandate. And I said, but my husband has this macro mandate. He's always talking and thinking and praying about nations. You know, I couldn't do that. I mean, he gets glued to, what's the news called at that time, at 20 to 11, when I want to sleep? Every night. And he says, it's part of my ministry, be quiet. And I'm like, oh, I want to go to bed, please. And I'm sitting there, I'm trying to be really quiet and good. I'm not saying I'm not interested in world affairs. He said, yes, you are. I'm interested in internal affairs, the heart. You know, but my mandate motivates me. But if at the end of the day that's all I've got, if all I want to do is to serve God, and that's coming out purely of this zeal and desire to somehow achieve something, to accomplish something, to succeed in something, to leave a legacy, if that's all it's coming out of, then at the end of the day, there's the danger that I'm going to end up just like Jehu. And I am encouraging you this morning. You know, I have been looking at the life of Solomon saying, Father, this man inspires me. This king has spoken more words of wisdom inspired by your spirit than anyone else. What has come out of his mouth has touched me, changed me. But Lord, he ended badly. You see, we need to look at our love. Mission motivates, but love never fails. Let my people go that they may serve me, but that they may serve me out of a place of worship. And I want to, as I finish, say this. You know, you may be sitting there saying, but I just don't love God as much as Glossina does. I just don't love God as much as Roro does, or Pastor P does. I just don't. You know, let me just give you a few little tips. You know, have you ever noticed that if there's someone that's really winding you up, and you know you've got to make peace with them, have you ever noticed that as well as dealing with it in your heart, if you go to that person, you chat with them, you smile, you give them a hug, you're kind to them. Have you noticed that if you start to say, you know, imagine I was cross with Ruth and she's the last person on earth I'm cross with. She was with me yesterday, we've had a wonderful day, so no worries there. You don't need to be interceding. It's all good. But imagine if I was cross with her, if I start saying, do you know what? Ruth's such an amazing woman. Have you ever noticed Ruth's diligence? Have you ever noticed how she spots things that others don't see? What am I doing? You see, I am using my mouth to get my heart right. Do you know one of my daily confessions is, I love you, Lord God, with all of my heart, with all my soul, with all my might, with all my strength, with everything inside of me. I love you. And then I also confess daily, Lord, your love has been poured out in my heart by the Holy Spirit. What am I doing? I'm using my mouth to allow the love of God, my love for him, to grow and grow and grow. You know, start to tell God, how many times a day do you just say, I love you so much, Lord, I love you so much, Lord. I wander around saying that in my heart. I just love you, Lord. You see, the more you say it, the more your heart's going to follow. Your tongue is a steering wheel, and you can get it to steer you out of that place of complacency. Your tongue can steer you out of that place of dryness and into this place of a love affair with the Lord. Let me tell you something else. You know, in marriage, one of the things that's so important is intimacy. You know, without intimacy, marriages will not succeed. They need it. You know, so it's so important for married couples to kiss and cuddle and all the rest. Did you hear what he said? For the sake of everyone else, he said,
yeah, baby.
You see, we need intimacy in marriage for it to work. We need it. Now, the equivalent in our relationship with God is praise and worship. It's making time every day. You know, how many times a week do you just allow? Do you know, if you don't spend much time with the Lord, then just make sure a fraction of that is just you going, I love you so much, God. Father, you're amazing. You're awesome. Wow. You're the creator. You created the stars and the heavens and the sky, but you also are my daddy. God, you're amazing. And then just allow a song. Say, God, give me a song. Give me a song, Lord. And before you know it, you'll be singing, how excellent is your name. How excellent is your name. You can sing it more beautifully than me. And it doesn't matter if you can't sing. Do you know, God hears the heart. And before you know it, you'll be noticing, wow, I love God just a bit more than I did before. I love God just a bit more than I did before. Will you stand to your feet, please? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Right now, if everyone just shuts your eyes in the presence of God, and just quieten your heart. And if you're here this morning and your heart is just saying, Lord, I really need to receive that sense of mission. Because without mission, we really will struggle. You, Jesus. You know, without that sense of mission, you will struggle. But God has given you. He has given you a mission and a mandate, and you just need to receive it. And you just need to be aligned and ready for when you receive it in full. So right now, if that's you and you're saying, I just want to receive that sense of mission, just lift your hands high right now. Just high before the Lord. And you're saying, God, I need that sense of mission. You see, when you get that mission, there's nothing that will be able to stop you from fulfilling your purpose. So, Father, I pray for every son and daughter with their hands raised before you right now. And I pray that by your Spirit, that, Lord, you would plant in their hearts the mission to which you have called them. Father, I pray that as they are drawing close to you in the secret place, that you'd start to paint the picture in their hearts of the purposes that you have for each one of them. Father, I pray for an impregnation deep within of your mandate and your purpose. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you. And just start to receive it by faith. Everything we get from heaven, we get by faith. Start to thank him that you have an awesome mission. Start to thank him now that you will fulfill your destiny. Start to thank him that your mission will motivate you to do what God's called you to do, to be who God's called you to be. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And now if you're here, and you're saying, I realize I just need more love for the Lord. I want my love to grow. I want my love to be deeper, wider, higher. I want my love to constrain me. In other words, to hold me back from doing the right, from doing the wrong stuff. And I want it to compel me, to propel me into doing the right stuff. Right now, just lift your hands to the Lord. You're saying, I want more love for God. I want more love for the Lord. I want more love for my Savior, Jesus. I want to fall in love with the Holy Spirit like never before. Just lift your hands high in his presence. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray, Lord God, for a baptism of love. I pray, Lord God, that their tongues would become a steering wheel in each one of their lives. That, Lord God, as love comes out of their mouth, as love comes out of their hearts by choice, that you would fill their hearts with love. Father, let a personal life of worship and praise be birthed in every life in this place, Lord God. Worship to you. Worship to you, Lord God. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Worship. Worship, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Oh, Father, may we grow day by day. Hallelujah. And as we just remain one more moment in the presence of the Lord, if you're here today and you're saying, but I have never yet given my life to Jesus, I haven't even started on that journey of walking with the Lord God, of hearing from heaven day by day, that exciting journey of living a life of faith in Jesus. And you're saying, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to invite him into my heart. I want to become a real Christian. The sort that has their heart on him. Would you just lift up your hand so that I can pray for you? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Let's pray together. Let's pray together. Just those people who've raised your hands, if you just lift them high, that'll be wonderful. And we're going to pray together. If you say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love. I open up my heart to you today. I ask you to come and live in me by your Spirit. And I dedicate the rest of my life to you. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen and amen. Put your hands together for Jesus.